Warm greetings to all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bibles to James chapter 1. This morning we begin a book study on the book of James. God willing, we shall study this book all the way right up to the month of December. And tonight we also kick off a new series at the Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship, focusing on the 16th century Reformation. Please continue to pray. It is a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual exercise that all of us are in. The topic is the way to spirituality. What exactly is to be spiritual? Does it mean that a spiritual person is someone who is healthy and wealthy, and he calls himself a Christian? And so if he is a Christian, he must be healthy and wealthy. And that equals spirituality. We know that this teaching, this perspective of spirituality cannot be biblical. For the simple reason is that our Lord Jesus Christ himself was not wealthy. He did not have a place to even lie down to sleep. Birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, apostle the world had ever known, he died as a martyr. Some said that with his head cut off, others said in the lion's den. He didn't even have his outer garment. He had no bank account. He had no home that he could call his own. He had absolutely nothing except for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, his Lord. For to him, that was true wealth. He gave up all the accolades of the world, which he once upon a time considered as everything in life. He had prestige. He had status. He had also a good pedigree. From the tribe of Benjamin, where we had the first king of Israel, he could boast. He was circumcised the eighth day, not like some who were proselytes, who were circumcised as adults after they embraced the God of Israel. And so he had much to boast of. But when he became a Christian, he threw all these aside and he considered them as dung. And so therefore, this notion of health and wealth equals spirituality must be utterly removed from our thinking. Because the spirituality of a person has nothing to do with his physical possessions. Because if this is what we equate spirituality to be, then the richest people on planet Earth, by just simply gathering more and more houses and homes and material possessions, he would be a spiritual person. And that would not only be nonsensical, that would be disastrous. Because all of us should busy ourselves with the accumulation of wealth. And that would make us not only carnal Christians, but our salvation would be a big question mark. Because that is not the truth of Scriptures. That is not what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. James wrote this epistle to Christians who were Jews. They had dispersed into the Roman Empire, probably because of persecution. They were running. They were hiding. This book of James is not a very long book. It's a very short book. It had only 108 verses. But please note that in these 108 verses, you will find 54 commands. And in these commands, you're going to see a lot of contrasts. For in this book, you're going to study about two kinds of faith. True faith and false faith. You're going to study about two kinds of wisdom. Two kinds of temptation. Two kinds of confidence. Two kinds of self. A wonderful book for a time such as these. A time of great economic confusion. A time of great calamity, a time where we will experience temptations the world had never seen before. They just had a short talk on BBC about America. This year is supposed to be the 100th year of the great American empire. Some have already declared that it is the end of the American empire. And some have said that maybe not only the end, but maybe the decline of the American empire, where the world's economy will cease to look to America as the economy for the whole world. Living in momentous times will impact Christians in a way whereby your spirituality and my spirituality, or the lack of it, will be exposed if we are honest with ourselves. And so this morning, the first 8 verses, we're going to consider this topic, the way to spirituality. First and foremost, it must describe a person who is born again. That's exactly how the author of this book, James, had begun. It speaks of a Christian. It's like someone who is born into this world. A spiritual person is a spiritually mature person. He doesn't remain as an infant when he is 20 years old. He's supposed to become an adult. By the time he turns 20, he learns to stand on his own 2 feet. He learns to make his own decision, because that is the wish and hope of every parent when you bring up a child. Sure, a baby looks very cute in his first year, and he looks even more cute in his second and third year. But I don't think you want him to remain as cute when he is in his 20s and 30s. Still leaning on you, handing out his hand, asking for pocket money. You want him to stand on his own 2 feet, to be an adult, to mature. That's exactly what God demands of all of us as Christians. He doesn't want us to remain as infants even after we have been Christians, in inverted commas, for 20 years, for 5 years, for 10 years. There must be some form of maturity. There must be some form of growth. Just like what we desire of our children in the physical sense, in the emotional sense, in the mental sense. We want them to mature. Likewise, in the spiritual realm, God wants all of us to mature and to grow. He doesn't want us to remain stagnant. And that's the thrust and the purpose, especially in the face of impending great persecution. If this book had been written by James, it would be about 46 AD, one of the earliest of the New Testament books to be written. Persecution had begun, but it will gain in intensity as we study the book of Acts revealed to us. And it got worse after the crazy Caesar Nero burned Rome and put the blame on Christians. And therefore, through all these difficult times, James wanted to make sure that everyone who confessed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would not be found in self-delusion or deception. And so he began by telling us, what is the way to spirituality? First and foremost, verse 2, we see that the way to spirituality reveals to us that a Christian will walk on the path of temptation. Now, this first usage of temptation is in the good sense. Later on, from verse 12 onwards, you're going to study the temptation in the bad sense. But this temptation is the good kind. How is it good? What exactly is temptation? Temptation cannot be seen as the difficulty or the problems you encounter after you have fallen into sin. If you have fallen into sin, you will have to pay the price for the sin that you have done wrong. Temptation in this case is not because of the result of sin. It is more often than not the result of righteous living. Daniel, when he was thrown into the lion's den, Before he was thrown into the lion's den, he was told of the law that had just been passed in the new Persian Empire that had destroyed the old Babylonian Empire. He was told by his enemies that no one is allowed to pray for the next few weeks unless you cry to the king of Persia. But as was Daniel's custom, they all knew that he prayed three times a day facing Jerusalem. This had been his habit, a very good and godly habit, all his life. Now, Daniel knew that if he were to pray, he would be killed. He would be thrown into the lion's den. But he did what was his custom. He prayed. And because he prayed, he was thrown into the lion's den. What he experienced at that point in time, to disobey God for fear of his life, or to obey him and hand his life over to the Lord, that was the temptation. Trials are plenty in this age, in this time. You have been very diligent and hardworking in your office. And because of the economic turmoil, now you're found without a job. The temptation is not the loss of a job. The temptation is, can you continue to trust God in your life at this point when you are without a job? Just as you have trusted Him when you had a job, will you still trust Him while you wait for His plan to be revealed in your life? When will the job come? When will my next meal come from? What about my future? Will this cause you to have your faith shaken, whereby you will fall into sins such as you murmur, you complain, and you indulge in self-pity? This is where the temptation lies. If you do not indulge in self-pity, you do not reject the Lord Jesus Christ, but continue to serve Him and continue to pray and trust Him, not only in good times, but in difficult times, that's where the temptation comes. You are struck down with a terminal illness, not because of any wrong that you have done, but simply because this is a temptation that you have to face. We're not saying that you're going to be cured. Just like, please don't give people the impression that every Christian thrown into the lion's den will not be eaten up by lions. Hundreds, if not thousands, who were thrown into the lion's den after Daniel were eaten up, and they were all Christians. Read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you'll find many of them crucified, killed for the faith. Temptation doesn't mean that you will be delivered. It will mean that you did not compromise all the way unto death. That's the temptation that we must consider. And so on the path of temptation is the way to spirituality. So many of us who want to hide from temptation, and there are some who will hide from temptation. You know how they try to hide and avoid temptation? They don't want to serve. They don't want to serve in church in any capacity, even though they may be very gifted. Because in service, you're going to encounter difficult situations. Not only that, you're going to encounter difficult people. Difficult circumstances, you exercise patience. That's the meaning of the word in the Bible. Difficult people, you exercise long-suffering. Now, these are all allowed by God, whereby you will be put on the way of temptation. You want to hide and cloister yourself up into your little box. No one in my life other than my family. That's it. You do not grow that way. Because you run and hide. In fact, by doing that, you live in sin and disobedience because you do not want to be a blessing to others by the exercise of the gift that God has bestowed upon you. Your life could have been a blessing to others. Sure, there will be difficulty, because as long as you want to serve the Lord and be a spiritual blessing to others, Satan will put stumbling block in your pathways. And this would be the way of temptations that you will have to encounter. It is so easy to get the writ of summons that we have received from Life at BP Church that have been sent to the 9 members of the board of directors of FEBC. And one of them is Reverend Timothy Toh. What we have, therefore, is his previous church now suing the pastor. The condition is very simple. Don't teach VPP. The writ of summons stops. You can stay and use FEBC as long as you want. You can stay in their compound, in Life Church, as long as you want. That was what was put in the writ of summons. Way of temptation. Do you capitulate? Should we now therefore preach that the Bible has mistakes? Because no VPP means God never preserved. If God never preserved, then the Word has mistakes. Do you want your Sunday school teachers to teach the Bible have mistakes to your sons and daughters? It will definitely shake their faith. Every time you read God's Word, you are uncertain. Is there a mistake here? Is there a mistake there? Very soon, you and I will have nothing more to preach. And the church will become nothing but a community center, a club. The temptation, the way of it, is real. And so James encouraged us. After he introduced himself, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Immediately he went straight. No mincing of words, no long words of salutation or greetings. Just simply go straight to encourage them. Time was short, as it were. My brethren, count it all joy. It's in the imperative. And because it is in the middle voice, no one can count it for you. You have to count it yourself because it's you who is going through the temptation. You are going through it. Your wife can't count it for you. Your husband can't count it for you. Your parents can't count it for you. No matter how much they love you and they want to do it, they can't. You have to do it yourself. And that's why it's in the middle voice. Count it yourself. And it's in the imperative. It means it is a command. And the emphasis is on the action itself. You have to do it. Count it all joy. Not some joy, not most joy. All joy. In other words, it is an honor. It is a privilege to face temptation because of the faith, because of the Word of God, because of Jesus Christ. In the last days, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, when John opens seal number 5, the Bible tells us that there will be many, many saints in the last days who will have to give their lives for 2 things, for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's it. Many of them will die for the faith. That means they refuse to compromise when they face temptation. Reject Christ, keep your life. Lose your life, keep Christ. They kept Christ and they lost their lives. Did they succumb to temptation? They did not. Did they win? Yes. They were victorious even though they lost their physical life. They gained eternal life. And that's why God says, count it all joy, because what is the worst that could ever happen to us? In whatever temptation that you encounter, that you face, what is the worst that could happen? Lose your freedom? Is that the worst that you could think of? Lose your life? What is the loss of our physical life? Is this not the way of life? Death is the end of all life, isn't it? You and I will die anyway. That's what the Bible tells us, 70 years. By reason of strength, add another 10 more years. But that is the way, the end of all mankind. You're afraid of death. The Bible says, fear not him that has power over your physical life, but fear him that is God, who has power over your soul and your physical life. Fear God, not man, not Satan. That's why the Bible here encourages us. You can count it all joy when you fall. When you fall, not if you fall. That means you will surely fall into it. Diverse, many, all kinds of temptations. It could come from your health. It could come from your boss, your colleagues. It could come from your neighbors. It could come from your friends. It could even come from your loved ones. You will face temptations. When you fall into it, How you react and respond is the key. To be tempted is not sin, please understand. It's when we succumb to temptation. That's when we have sinned. We talk so much about the errors of people we do not know. But what if the sin and the errors come from someone that we know? And what if that someone is related to you? Your son, your father, your mother, your sister, your friend, your neighbor. Will you and I have the same sense of righteousness to deal with such a sin from someone that we love, that we care about? We must. Because if we do not, then we have succumbed and fallen into sin and succumbed to temptation. That's what it means. There was a pastor whose adult daughter broke their heart, broke his heart, and he wept and he cried. The news was that his daughter went and lived with another man, not married, not a Christian. He cried, "I must give up my position, my ministry now, because of what my daughter had done." I counseled him and I told him, according to the word of God, your daughter is an adult. How you react and respond to what she has done is the key to the disqualification or the qualification of your ministry. If you condone what she has done, my advice to you is to resign from the ministry. But if you exercise church discipline, then your witness and your testimony would not disqualify you from the ministry. Thank God he exercised church discipline. He removed her from all ministries. Not only that, she was excommunicated from the church. To make matters worse, on a personal level, they tried to reach out to the daughter to ask her to stop from this sin and to come back. But she refused. Instead, a court injunction was made against the parents from ever contacting them. And so, when she got married to this same man after a year of living together, they did not attend the wedding. The church knew. There were those who disagreed with him. They left the church. He was brokenhearted. His wife was brokenhearted. It was so difficult for them at that point in time. But it was most necessary for him to succumb to that temptation would have been disastrous. To continue to allow the daughter to remain in the church as if nothing is wrong, nothing has happened, that would be disastrous. By the grace and mercy of God, they continue to pray for the daughter. Events occurred about 2-3 years after her departure from the church and from the family, caused her to break down and to repent of her sin and to come back to the Lord and to the family. And today she has returned back not only to the family but also to the church family. And she said no more. No more must she run away from God and remain in sin. Temptations are plenty. They will come. But when you are in it, count it all joy. That is the key. Because your Heavenly Father is in control. It is not because of sin that you have committed, right? You have to check your own heart. This is not because of sin. Please remember this. It is because you are in the path of righteousness and now God wants you to grow one notch up in your life of faith. That's what the Bible tells us in verse 3. That's the next step concerning the way to spirituality. The first is to be found in the path of temptation. The second is on the path of experience. Why experience? Well, because of the word knowing. It is not head knowledge. This word know is the word for experiential knowledge. There are many of us who have a lot of head knowledge concerning the truth of the scriptures, concerning the facts of the Bible. But as far as experiential knowledge comes, you must begin first in the way of temptation, because that's where you will be exercised. That's where you gain experiential knowledge. And this money cannot buy. Hiding and cloistering yourself up in your little closet will not give you the experience you need. Knowing this, that the trying, the testing of your faith will work patience, will bring about patience. That's the only way to gain patience. This way of spirituality is not one of the ways. It's the only way. The only way, no other way. You want to grow and mature to be a grown-up Christian? This is the only way. You do not become wise by just sitting down where you are and let time take its course. And then your hair turns white. And then after your hair turns white, either it turns white or it drops off. And then people look at you, "Wow, there sits a wise man." Please. It doesn't work that way. Experiential knowledge. You have to go through the hard knocks of life as you trust in the Lord. No other way. What makes a good soldier? Because he is very good in training, or is he very courageous in the battlefield? It's not the courage that you demonstrate in training, isn't it? It's the courage that you demonstrate in the battleground, in the face of enemies and enemy fire. That's where the mettle of the soldier is revealed. And that's exactly the same in the spiritual realm. For you, for me, all of us, no different. Knowing this, experiential knowledge, that the testing of your faith, do you love God enough to give Isaac and sacrifice him as a burnt offering back to me, Abraham? He did. He had to go all the way because Abraham needed to know in his heart of hearts that he really loved God, not in theory, that he really loved God in good time as well as in difficult times. We all can say that, isn't it? That I will love God in good times and in difficult times. But when you really go through difficult times, will you really love Him? Job had the same situation, same problem. He thought he was very close to God. But after the trial that he had to endure, with the loss of his wealth, the loss of his children, the loss of his health, at the end of the book, he himself testified, "I thought I knew God, but now I have seen God. I've experienced the goodness, the grace, and the mercy of God." He matured throughout the entire temptation. That's the only way to grow. No other way. You run and you hide. You don't serve. You don't confront Satan, the demons, the evil one. You will not grow. If you do not earnestly contend for the faith, if you do not go out and take the gospel and give to someone and face rejections, your faith and your trust in God will continue to be like an infant. Because as far as experiential knowledge is concerned, you have nothing to talk about other than what you had experienced on the day of your salvation. So from the time of your salvation right up to this point in your life as a Christian, blank page. Because you have been running away. You have never been found in the way of temptation because you have not gone out to serve in any way. You don't tell people about Christ. You don't help people. You don't serve. You don't do anything. And therefore, your spiritual well-being is still like a baby. You know, this past couple of weeks, there is a baby boom in this church. It's good because according to people who study church growth, making babies is one of the best ways of increasing the church population. You look at these babies. You look at them. You look at how cute and how wonderful they are. If you have been a Christian for 5, 10 years And if between the day when you confess the Lord Jesus Christ and right up to this time and you have served nothing, you see yourself like that spiritually. You may be 5, 10, 20 years old as a Christian, but as far as God is concerned, you are still like that. Not very cute for a 20-year-old, isn't it? Still sucking his thumb? Still being pushed around in a pram? Still having the mom to make the milk bottle and put it in his mouth? That's exactly what you and I are. If we are just a blank page of non-service, of no interest, of total, complete indifference. The way of spirituality is a tremendous way. It is the way that God desires of every Christian, just as every parent desires their son, their daughter to grow up and to be mature. God desires the same for us, spiritually speaking. And so he allows temptation to come and he says, count it all joy. Because it will be a blessing for you when you now know experientially the strength of your faith, how wonderful it is, the trying of your faith, which will bring about patience where you will mature, where you are going to think back how good God has been in seeing you through this temptation. And now when you face another one, you have in your backlog all these wonderful blessings and battles that you have fought, where you have experienced the goodness, the grace, and the sufficiency of God's grace in your life. And then now when you face this one, you continue to trust him. You're not easily disturbed and perturbed. And that's why I thank God for lawsuit. Because now the second one is so much easier because of the first one. The first one was so difficult, so nightmarish, you do not know. But the second one is so much easier by the grace and the mercies of God. By his mercy, by his grace. Temptations strengthen and encourage our heart, and our trust in the Lord will be deepened in the process. There's no other way. If there is another way, you think God will not lead us in that direction? He knows. And that's why he helps. He wants us to grow, to mature, to experience his presence, his love, his mercy, his goodness in your life and in my life. And finally, it's a path of prayer. The way of to spirituality lead us on the way, on the path of temptation, the path of experience, and now the path of prayer. Because the temptations that you and I encounter will cause us to become totally, utterly helpless. You will be near breaking point. You will find yourself so completely useless and helpless that you have no one to turn to but to cry to God. And you know that is the best way to know how helpless we are without Christ. And that's what temptation should drive us to. Let patience have a perfect work, that we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That is verse 3, verse 4. If any of you lack wisdom, that means how to apply knowledge into the circumstances that we are facing. Because patience brings perfection. All these are possible when you lean on Christ, when you pray. It will become a reality. Guarantee. You will become more and more like Christ with every passing temptation that you endure successfully, victoriously. Guaranteed, this is God's plan for maturity and for growth, for you and for me, to be Christ-like. That's what he says, isn't it? Let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, complete, without lacking in anything. And if any of you lack wisdom, that is the application of knowledge. Now, the Spirit of God, the Bible says, is to bring to remembrance what we have learned from God's Word. Now, the Spirit of God cannot bring to remembrance when the vessel up there is empty. You know that, right? It's simple logic. So in order for the Spirit of God to bring to remembrance whereby Bible verses will come to the fore, will come into your mind as you encounter temptations the way that the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted after 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. Scriptures came to him and he rebuked Satan from the word of God, one after the other. And therefore, it is so crucial and so important that we store up a lot of knowledge of God's word in our hearts. And to know that in the word of God, that's the beginning of the strength that the Spirit of God is able to use to help us overcome whatever temptation. That's why it is so crucial that you spend time reading and studying God's word every day of your life. Come to church, wonderful. In the morning, please also come in the evening, because there is never, never enough where you hide God's word in your heart. When you study God's word, especially when we kick off a new series on the 16th century Reformation, a day when many people despise today. Why do people despise what Martin Luther did in 1517? Why do they not like it? Come and be encouraged. Because with the word of God, that's the first step. Then the Spirit of God will take the word of God and to apply it, because that's what wisdom is, the application of godly knowledge of the word of God. If any of you lack wisdom. See, sometimes we take this verse out of context because we think that this verse applies to my maths exam, my science exam, my geography exam, right? It's nothing to do with exam, it's with life. Life situation, the life problems. If you lack wisdom on how to react correctly in a way that is pleasing to God when you are confronted with problems of life, you pray. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. God is so happy to help us. All we need is to have God's word in our hearts. The Spirit of God will, through the word of God, encourage us and strengthen us over and over and over again, innumerable times. Many of God's servants have enjoyed this blessing throughout the ages, guaranteed, never, never fail. That's God's promise. It's very simple. Just ask of God, and he says, I will give to all Christians liberally, copiously, as much and more than you ever need. And he will upbraid you. He will not scold you. He will not rebuke you. He will not turn you away. And it shall be given him. But please let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't be shaken in the faith. Don't doubt. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Next time when you are on the coast of the shores of the Singapore Island, look at the ocean. See how the waves keep on tossing back and forth according to the wind direction. They have no direction of their own. Please don't end up like that in the spiritual realm as a Christian. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, for a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you ask by faith, trusting and knowing God. And your faith is so much easier when you know who God is, isn't it? When you know God better, when you're more familiar with him, it is so easy to trust him. It's so easy to ask of him. The problem is we do not know him well. And because we do not know him well, we do not trust him well. And therefore, our faith is shaken. The only way is to study God's word. Please, no other way. You want to know God? It's all here. It's all in God's word. That's it, plain and simple. We have the ABC. We have all the fellowships. We have the contact groups. We have so many avenues to encourage everyone to study God's word. Please, study God's word. The way of to spirituality. Walk on the path of temptation. Be found there. Don't run from it. Count it all joy. And then be found on the path of experience. Experiential knowledge. Because it will bring about the perfect man. When you learn patience. Because it will result in maturity. And throughout this whole process, it will inevitably also thrust us on the path of prayer. And prayer comes when you know God, when you can trust him, and therefore it must cause us to study God's word. No other way. It's all here. It's not a secret. It's an open secret to everyone, because that's what the Bible tells us. Wisdom is now on the rooftop shouting out. It's found in the streets. Wisdom wants people to embrace her and to know her. Study the book of Proverbs. God doesn't want to hide His word from us. He wants every child of God to gobble down His word, to know His word, and He wants everyone to mature and to be strong and godly Christians. That's His desire. And that's why He gave gifts to every one of us to exercise it, so that when we all face temptations, we can mutually encourage one another. And on the way of temptation, you will gain experiential knowledge. And once you have experiential knowledge, you will find that your prayer life and your trust and your walk with God will become so strong and so secure that your faith will not be shaken. That whatever temptations you face and you encounter, you will have God by your side to see you through them. Dearly beloved, that's the way to spirituality. It is a way that all of us can tread as a Christian. And this is the way that God wants all of us to grow and mature as a Christian. May God help us and encourage our hearts to look deep into our own soul. Where do we stand in our spirituality before God? It doesn't come by just letting time pass. It comes with service, with prayer, with the study of God's word, with interaction with people. We are all not perfect, far from perfect. There will be problems, there will be difficulties. But when we go through them, realize this, that is the way to spirituality that you are now walking on. And it is the right way. It is the way that God wants you to grow. May God give us the strength and the courage to grow in faith and in the knowledge of our Savior. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for every trial and temptation Thou hast sent our way. For we know that these are allowed by Thee to encourage us and to strengthen us, to help us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior. For we know, O Lord, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will always be our sufficiency, for His grace is sufficient for us. Strengthen us, keep us in the path of righteousness always, even as we face the many temptations in this world. And we pray, O Lord, that Thou will help us to be found victorious as we learn to pray and to trust in Thee through the study of Thy holy word. May Thou keep us always in the path of righteousness, that all of us may grow from strength to strength, that we may all conform to the image of Thy only begotten Son, even our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. For we ask all these things with thanksgiving in Christ's name. Amen.